Amen. Thank you so much. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter. Now we're looking at the 12th verse and following. Jesus has taken his disciples out to the desert, and people have followed them there. And so he has taught them, and we pick up in verse 12 of the 9th chapter, when the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a desert place. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. And then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so, and they made them all sit down. Then he took 5 loaves and 2 fish and looked up to heaven. He blessed it, and he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of leftover fragments were taken up by them. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take now your word, that you would touch our hearts, that you would meet each person here, Father, each person listening at their point of need. And thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope that you know that our Jesus is a miracle worker. He is a miracle worker today. He was a miracle worker then when he walked with his disciples. He performed many miracles. John said that he didn't write down all the miracles Jesus did. He selected from them those that he believed that would help people understand that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, Almighty God. And so he put them in. He gave us the idea that if you wrote down everything that Jesus did, there wouldn't be enough paper to write it down on. This miracle that we see in the Gospel of Luke, John did write down. In fact, not only did John write it down and Luke wrote it down, but Matthew and Mark wrote it down. This is the only miracle of Jesus that's written down in all four. And so it must be very, very important to us understanding who Jesus is. The disciples, the disciples have been very busy. They are on a learning task. A disciple is a learner, and they're learning about Jesus. May I say your life needs to be a life that learns about Jesus. And that's what these 12 men were trying to do. They were trying to soak up what Jesus had for them. He had sent them on a training journey, and we saw that last week. They went out, and they were privileged to be able to stand for Jesus, talk for Jesus, to heal for Jesus, to cast out demons in Jesus' name, and to proclaim the gospel. What a great trip they had. They learned that Jesus had power and that he could give them the opportunity to use his power. It was miraculous for them in a miraculous time. And now they had come apart to a desert place. Jesus was going to give them a time of rest. What they found out that serving Jesus is a blessing, serving Jesus is a joy, serving Jesus is tiring, exhausting. And so they needed to come away. They needed to come apart, as the scripture says. In verse 11, he tells them when the people discovered, they followed. Now, even though that Jesus was tired, he received the people. He didn't turn them away. In fact, Jesus didn't turn people away. Jesus would receive anyone that came to him in faith. And today, if you will go to Jesus in faith, it doesn't matter what your need is. Doesn't matter what your concern. It doesn't matter the situation you're in. Jesus will not turn you away. He listens to you. He wants to help you. He wants to lift you. He wants to forgive you. Don't believe the devil's lie that Jesus doesn't care. He always cares. Now in verse 12, we find that the day began to wear away. Time just passed. Have you ever
Have you ever been in church and churches get started and it begins to move and the music goes and then the preacher talks and then the preacher talks and then the preacher talks? And you kind of feel like he's covered everything he's got to say, but it doesn't look like he's slowing down at all. And so you just try to glimpse the time. Now, in olden days, you'd look at your watch. Some of you still do that. Other people now try to catch a glimpse of their phone and, you know, just kind of slide it down and kind of look at it. You know, they try to look at it without setting off an alarm or calling somebody. And then you see the time, and only about 10 minutes has passed. And you know it's going to be a long day. But then there are times that you're in church and you're caught up in things and the music just is amazing and then the message is hitting you right at your heart and you're following it and all of a sudden the pastor begins to give the invitation and you can't believe that it's time to go. Everything has gone by so quick. Certainly you could not have been here the entire time and yet you were. Now, this may be a surprise to you, but there are people that have both of those experiences often in the same service. When you are willing to tune into what God has for you, you'll be amazed at how fast time passes by. God has a way of capturing attention and holding attention, and he has a way of meeting your needs through services, and you need to pay attention. You need to ask God to guide you, to teach you in every service. You know, that you understand that whatever we do here is going to be putting out God's word. And so if God's word goes out, his word will not return void. You need to be a good listener. You need to allow God to speak to your heart and get you what you need for this day. They were amazed that time had passed. Well, I've been amazed that time had passed. It kind of encourages me to see that they had to tell Jesus the time had passed. You see, for the preacher, things kind of go quickly. And so for Jesus, the time was just kind of moving by. He did not worry about the time so much, but they got his attention that time had passed. And the crowd was going to need to go away. They were going to need to go to find lodging, and they were going to need to go and find something to eat. The reason is they were in a desert place in verse 12. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said to him, "Send the multitudes away that they may go out into towns in the country around about and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a desert place." Jesus had led the disciples out to a desert place because that's the place that the crowd should not be, and yet the crowd followed him there. Jesus didn't allow the obstacles of the desert place to keep him from meeting the spiritual needs of the people. They were in a desert place. They were in a barren place. They were in a hot place. But they were in a place where they could learn of Jesus. He didn't turn them away, and he used the time not only to teach them, not only to meet their needs, but to meet the needs of the disciples. The disciples were tired. Jesus was tired, and yet he was not so tired that he did not reach out to meet the needs. They were tired enough for Jesus to take them away, to take them apart. It probably is a reminder that there are times you need to come apart. There are times you need to get away. There are times you need to schedule rest and recuperation. Vance Havner, a great preacher, used to say, if you don't come apart, you'll probably come apart. There needs to be a time of rest. And so they needed a time of rest, but they also needed a time to meet the needs of anybody that was there. Fatigue would not keep Jesus from meeting the needs of people. You see, Jesus was never too tired. Jesus was not too tired to leave heaven's throne and, and come to a major. He was not too tired to endure the evil sayings of evil men. He was not too tired to take your sins and mine to Calvary's cross. He was not so tired that he would not die for your sins and mine. He was not so tired that he would not keep going, even though the nails pierced his flesh. Jesus did not stop because he got tired. In fact, if you look at how Jesus kept going for us, and you imagine what he endured for us, you kind of get the pettiness of people that are too tired to worship. Whether it's coming to the church to worship or worshiping online, people get too tired. Well, if Jesus wasn't too tired for me, how could I dare say that I'm too tired for him? And so Jesus did not let fatigue stop him. The desert was a picture of their lives without him. The desert was a picture of our lives without him. The desert is a place where there's no water or refreshment. The desert is a place where there's no food or nourishment. The desert has a place with no shade or cover. The desert is a place with no shelter or protection. That's what sin is. You see, sin dries up the refreshing source from life. Sin will pull away from you and leave you without shade and will leave you without protection. Sin leaves you without rest and leaves you without peace. It strips away all of that would comfort you. Sin will leave you to experience the sting of death and eternal hell. The disciples are tired. The day is getting long. So they just say, Jesus, maybe it's time for these people to go home. Maybe it's time for them to go and find a place to stay the night. Maybe it's time for them to go find food. Now, I know it sounds like they weren't caring, but they are actually caring. They're trying to take care of this crowd because there's over 5,000 people here. They're going to have to be somewhere. They're going to have to get food somewhere. For the disciples, the big problem was that they were in a desert place. They only saw where they were. They did not see who they were with. Now, I don't know what kind of situation you're in. I don't know how difficult your days be. You may be in a desert place of life. You may be in a struggling place. You may be in a place facing sickness. You may be in a place where you're facing some kind of great difficulties. But it's a desert for you. I want you to know it doesn't matter where you are. It matters whose you are. And if you have Jesus, you have the one that can take care of you in your desert place. You find yourself in a desert, drying up. Jesus is the spring of life for your soul. Jesus is the one that can lift you. Jesus is the one that can forgive you. If you have Jesus, you can have hope. You can have joy. You can have purpose even in the desert place. The key is, in the desert place, you need to follow the directed plan. In verse 13, "But he said unto them, give them to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves, barley loaves, and 2 fish, except we should go and buy food for all these people. For there was about 5,000 men, and he said to the disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company." Now, there were about 5,000 men. They counted the men. Now, we count everybody, but they counted just the men. It is commonly thought that there were more than just men. If they all had wives and their wives were with them, then all of a sudden there's 10,000. If they had one child apiece, well, then there's 15,000. But it is very, very likely there was a good bit more than 5,000. How in the world is Jesus going to feed all these people with five barley loaves and two fish? I want you to understand this principle. It doesn't matter how many there were. It doesn't matter how many more than 5,000 there were. If Jesus could take five barley loaves and two fish and feed his 12 disciples, then he's got enough power to feed millions. The issue is not how many, the issue is who's the master. Who's the one that's taking over the situation? I don't know how difficult your day is. You know what I have found in life? Trouble seldom travels alone. Trouble brings friends. I generally, if I have one problem, I will easily have two problems and maybe have five problems. They just come. The old saying is they come in threes. No, they come. They come in more than threes. They just come. People get through the third problem and they think, I'm glad all that's over with. And they will look up and there they keep coming. There's at least another three. If Jesus can handle feeding any, he can handle feeding all. It's not about the problem of the number. It is about who he is. Now, I don't know what your situation is. I don't know how difficult it is. I don't know how horrible it may be. I don't know, about our day and what's going to happen next. But I know my God. And I know my God is capable and able to handle whatever I face or whatever faces me. And he can do the same for you. If you can believe Genesis 1:1, then you should be set to believe God's got you for anything. If God can create the heavens and the earth, he can certainly handle my piddling problems. He can carry me through whatever I face whenever I face it. Now, Jesus knew that people were a little difficult around food. He's probably seen Baptists at an eating meeting. And so he needed them to get in smaller, manageable groups. And so he broke them up into groups of 50. That's one of the reasons we have small groups in church. We have our small Bible studies because we need to break up sometimes to get the food we need, to meet the needs that we have. And so that's very important. They were not put in small groups to meet the needs of the masses. They were put in small groups to meet the needs of the individuals. You see, God cares about the millions, yes. But God cares about you. Our relationship with God is a personal thing. It is a relationship between us and Almighty God. Now, the fact that they were in 50s was important because 50 was a very important number to the Hebrews. 50 was the year of Jubilee. The 50th year, an amazing thing would happen. On the 50th year, every debt would be canceled. It didn't matter how much you owed. On the 50th year, that debt was gone. It didn't matter if you were a slave. On the 50th year, all slaves were set free. Jesus put them in 50s to let them know that he was able to take care of them and he was able to provide for them. He could set them free from their sins and he could give them what they need to cancel their sin debt. That's what Jesus came to do. He not only asked the disciples to have them sit down in 50s, he tells the disciples to feed them. Verse 13, give them to eat. Now, the you here is implied, but if you read the other text, you'll find that it is very much there. You give them to eat. Jesus had empowered the disciples to heal, to cast out demons, to preach the gospel. Certainly they should understand that he could empower them to feed the people he said that they were to feed. They're back with Jesus and they need to trust him. I don't care what you go through, you need to trust him for whatever's next. Immediately, the disciples search out the crowd. Well, that's probably a good thing. They go through the crowd hoping to find that somebody's brought a food truck. Philip does the math. Philip was the Baptist in the group. You know he was a Baptist. Baptists always want to know how much something's going to cost. 200 denarii would not be enough to give everybody just a crumb. 200 denarii, that's 200 days' wages. And everybody would just get a small sum. They found 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. These were not 5 large loaves of bread. These were 5 little biscuits. And the fish were not huge tuna. They were most likely sardines. Now, they were nice sized sardines, but they were sardines. I got to give Andrew credit. Andrew didn't complain about the task. He set about trying to find what was there. And when he found a young boy that had something, he brought him to Jesus. Don't you like Andrew? He's always bringing people to Jesus. We need Andrews. We need to be Andrews. He found what he could and he put it in the hands of Jesus. That is exactly a lesson Jesus wanted them to know. Take what you have, take whatever you have, and put it in the hands of Jesus. Take whatever difficulty you have and put it in the hands of Jesus. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. They were to realize they couldn't buy their way out of this problem. They couldn't plan their way out of this problem. They had to believe and obey their way out of this problem. The disciples didn't have a problem because they didn't have enough money to feed the crowd. The disciples had a problem of they weren't turning it over to Jesus to feed the crowd. They weren't counting Jesus as the supplier they needed. Jesus is the supplier you need for every circumstance and situation. He had just given them power to heal. He can give them power to feed. Now, it didn't matter how many people there were. They needed to know little can become much when it goes into God's hands. And we'll deal with that a little bit later. What mattered was they were with Jesus. My friend, no matter the crisis, are you with Jesus? Our nation is in a mess, but are you with Jesus? There's a problem of lawlessness, but are you with Jesus? Our nation is going to pick a new president, but are you with Jesus? You see, no matter the situation, no matter the problem, no matter how great the difficulty, if we're with Jesus, we're with the one who can handle it. And so we see them seeking to obey, and so we find divine provision. In verse 16, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. Jesus takes this small offering of food, he blesses it and multiplies it. And it provided enough for everybody to be full, and there were 12 baskets left over. Hey, disciple, you don't think you can trust Jesus with feeding 5,000? Here's a basket for you. A basket of leftovers. Well, I don't really think the disciples took the leftovers. I think they went with the boy who gave his lunch so generously. Food was not wasted in that day. So many lessons here. As we said before, little is much when God is in it. That was true for the boy's lunch. It's true for faithful tithes and offerings. You may think your tithe is not much, but when you give it to God, God can take that. He puts it with other faithful people, and he accomplishes a lot. You know, we look at our church. You know, one of us would probably have difficulty keeping the lights on and any kind of ministry going on. But together, we have ministries going out from this place every day. We see God doing great things when we come together. And our church, you know, we're just a little church in Columbus, Georgia, but our church gives through the cooperative program. We join with other faithful churches, and because we join with other churches, that amount that we give is joined with theirs, and we have missionaries around the world telling the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have help groups going now to the areas of the hurricane to meet needs and tell people of Jesus Christ. God takes our little that's placed in his hands and he multiplies it. And what's true for money is true for lives. You may not think you can do much. You may not think you can do anything. But follow God as he leads you every step, and you will be amazed what he will do through you. He will accomplish things through you. You in your hands is a mess. You in God's hands is a mighty force. We need to put ourselves in his hands and see what God will bring. We need to understand the principle that God multiplies through obedience. If you will not obey God, you will not see God work. If you will not obey God, you will not even see answers to prayer. Oh, but if you will obey, amazing things can happen. The disciples may have thought, yeah, we'll set them down in 50s. While they're setting down in 50s, we'll get away. But they set them down in 50s. Why? Jesus said to. They were going to do what Jesus said. If you will do what Jesus says, you will be amazed how God takes care of you and how God takes care of others through you. They may not have known what Jesus had in mind. Most likely, they did not. But they were faithful, and because they were faithful, Jesus used them, and he worked through them to meet needs beyond their wildest imagination. Who would have thought a small boy's lunch could be multiplied to feed thousands upon thousands? Then you need to understand Jesus is sufficient for all your needs. Every one of them. Doesn't matter where they are, what they are. For the hungers of your life, Jesus has the answer. No matter how great they might be. You know, in that day, it was very seldom that a person ever was full. There was a constant hunger, a constant foraging for food, a constant trying to get something else for the next meal. You weren't so concerned about what you were going to do, in the evening meal in the morning. You were concerned about the morning meal in the morning. And lunch was about lunch. You see, there was not a great deal of food produced. But in that day with Jesus, his supply fed them until they were full. And they had leftovers. Leftovers was a rarity. And they had a lot of leftovers. Jesus can forgive, heal, and restore. No matter what desert you're in. Now, the power to feed the 5,000 is available today. Now, I'm not saying that you will multiply fish and biscuits. No, I am saying The same power that Jesus used in that miracle is available for his children today. The same power. Jesus doesn't have less power. And if Jesus showed you the power to feed 5,000, then perhaps he can give you power to deal with your worry, power to deal with your difficulty, power to deal with your mistakes and failures. Like Philip, you can count your resources and you'll come up short. Or you can trust in the resources of Jesus and be filled. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Believer, I want you to know, in the midst of COVID-19, when we don't know if any vaccine's coming and we don't know where the help is, and we know that there is a falling apart of much of our nation, I want you to know, when the medical community does not know which way to turn, and the political community, well, they never know which way to turn. We know where to turn. You turn to Jesus. And Jesus can handle it all. We need to give that message to others. We have struggling people around us. We need to let them know Jesus can handle it all. If you are here and you've never met Jesus as your Savior, you need to come to Jesus. You need to allow him to handle the great needs of your life, to forgive your sins, to save your soul. He will do that today. And believer, whatever the desert you're in, he can bring the refreshment you need if you will place things in his hands. And so place everything in his hands. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, we ask right now that you would take our lives and you would use them as you desire. Father, for anyone that is here that doesn't know you, I pray, Father, that they would come to know you right now, that they would invite Jesus into their heart to save their souls. I pray for believers, Father, believers that are stressing through their own difficulties, their own mistakes, their own failures, their own needs. I pray, God, that you would give us the wisdom to look to you, to place everything in your hands and know that you can handle it. And Father, in you, let us find the victory. And then let us share that victory with a world that is hungering for it. Thank you for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you need to pray with someone about anything in your life, or you will need to make a decision for Jesus, or you'd like to become part of our church family, if when you go through these doors, you turn to the left and there's our prayer room, we have somebody waiting there to meet you, to pray with you, and to share with you what you need. And so please go by there. Make sure you filled out your cards, place them in the buckets as you leave. And we're thankful that you were here today. Head to Sunday school and have a great day.